Today we're going to learn about Thanksgiving, and we're going to learn why we ought to be, of all people, most thankful. So if you stand with me, we'll honor God as we read, starting in Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, above all things, help us to be thankful that nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, if we have your love, we have everything we need. Bless us today. Encourage our hearts. Lord, fill us with thankful hearts, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to have a pop quiz starting today's service. When is Thanksgiving Day? Okay, we'll say Thursday. Which Thursday? This coming Thursday, which is what Thursday of the month? It's the last Thursday of the month of November. Our early Thanksgiving changed year after year after year. The official starting of Thanksgiving in the United States of America was by President George Washington in 1789. The first president of our country set aside November 26th as a day of Thanksgiving. From that time until the time of Abraham Lincoln, each state had different days that they celebrated Thanksgiving on. When President Lincoln came to office, he declared the fourth Thursday of each November as official Thanksgiving Day for our nation. And from that day to this day, every president has declared the fourth Thursday of November will be Thanksgiving Day for our nation. But as Christians, we know a little bit better than that. Every day is Thanksgiving Day for Christians, because every day we have so much to be thankful for. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We learned in Sunday school this morning about a man that was born blind. Now, folks, being born blind is not something normally we would give thanks for. But God says we are to give thanks in every circumstance. God had a purpose and a reason why that man was born blind. Some years later, Jesus Christ was going to heal that man, and Jesus was going to be able to teach the people of his day some wonderful truths through that happening. Folks, we don't always know why God does things in our lives. Some of the things that he allows, we don't think are very pleasant. But God says he wants us to learn to give thanks in everything. A little illustration of that is found in the Folk Psalms of Faith. Ray Steadman wrote the book, and he wrote about an experience that H.A. Ironsides, who was an old pastor years ago, had. Ironside went to a very crowded restaurant in the city that he was preaching at that week. And as Ironside sat down and was just about to begin his meal, a man walked up and there was no place else to sit. And he asked Ironside, do you mind if I sit down? And Pastor Ironside said, no, by all means, help yourself, sit down. And just before he ate, Ironside did what he always did. He bowed his head just for a minute and gave thanks for the meal. The man that sat across from him said, "Do you have a headache?" And Aaron says, "No." He says, "Isn't your food very good?" And Aaron says, "No. I just simply am doing what I always do. I always bow my head and give thanks before I eat." And the man said, "Oh, you're one of those kind of guys, eh?" He says, "I never give thanks for anything. Everything I've done, I've earned by the sweat of my brow. And I don't have to thank anybody." And Aaron says, "Oh, you're just like my dog. He never gives thanks either." Folks, as Christians, we know something, don't we? We know who supplies our food. And we ought to be thankful above all people on this earth. Today, I want to share three different reasons why you and I should be thankful every single day. Number one, we can give thanks every day that our God is for us. Now, folks, it's important that God's for you, because in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, it says, "What then should we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Do you understand when you gamble, and I'm not for gambling, but if you do gamble, when you go to the casino, the odds are against you automatically. I hope you understand that. I'm not saying don't go to the casino. I don't, but you can do what you want. But if you happen to get into a game like we just learned with the gambling that went online with the sports stuff, that it was rigged, do you know that life is rigged in your favor if you know the Lord and you love Him? You've got something going on in your life that others don't have. And you ought to be extremely, extremely thankful. There's a little rhetorical question that's asked here in verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? So I want to give you four different answers. The question, who? The answer is nobody can be against us successfully. People can oppose you. But if God's on your team, do you know what that means? It means you win. When I was a little boy in school, I went to John Moore Grade School in Saginaw, and I used to love to play baseball, and I knew if I could get two other boys on my team for lunchtime recess, I was going to win every time. Why? Because those two boys were the best players in our school. And if I got them on my team, I'm going to win. Do you know you have the one that's the best at everything and the most powerful of anybody? And if he's on your team, you are going to win every time. Now, it may not always seem like you're winning, but you are winning with God on your team. Number two, what can harm you? Nothing can be against us. It's all for us. God doesn't allow anything into your life unless he's going to use it for your good. I hope you understand God's in charge of everything that comes and goes out of your life. You can bring trouble to yourself, but he's even going to use that for your good if you love him and you're called according to his purpose. It's a wonderful thing. Question number three, when can anything be against us? And the answer is never, because God's on our side. And the last one, where can anything be against us? And the answer is nowhere. God's everywhere we're going. God is for us, and if he's for us, nothing can be against us. Now, you say, where in the Bible does it teach that? Well, I want to give you a few examples here. Joseph learned the lesson in prison. And you say, boy, I don't want to go to prison. No, none of us want to go. But sometimes life happens against what we would like. In Genesis 39, verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. Folks, you're going to see that a couple times in just these next verses. When the Lord is with you, it's going to turn out well. He showed him his kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. He was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and he gave him success in whatever he did. And the Lord gives us the promise he's going to be with us everywhere we go. And if he's for us, we can't lose. Joshua learned this same lesson, marching around the city of Jericho. This is the first walled city he's coming to conquer the nation of Palestine. It says in Joshua 6:1, "Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I've delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horn in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpet. When you hear them sound a long blast in the trumpet, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in.'" Folks, when life seems to be against you, you're up against a walled city, something you just know you can't possibly do. If God's for you, who can be against you? What's going to happen when those walls fall? Half of the army is going to be gone that's against you. Folks, God is for you. Jonah learned it well in the belly of a big fish. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I'll look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I vowed I'll make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord.' And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." Folks, there was no hope for Jonah. The Lord said, "I want you to go to Nineveh." Jonah went the other way. Jonah wanted no part. But as he's sinking in the ocean, a rebellious man, he thought of the Lord, and he turned to the Lord, and guess what? He prayed and the Lord heard. If he'll hear a Jonah, folks, he'll hear you when you cry out. If he'll bless a Joseph, he'll bless you. Folks, it's so important we understand this. David learned that lesson against Goliath. A little teenage boy, probably this tall, standing against a man 9'6" tall, but he had God on his side and he knew it. That's the important thing going into any struggle you're ever going to face. If God is for you, who can be against you? In 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, David said to the Philistine, and I'm going to look up as I say this because this guy is 9'6". "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know it. It is not by the sword or the spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and I'll give all of you into our hands." Folks, if the Lord is for you, nothing can be against you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned the lesson in a fiery furnace. Now, this is a hard place to learn, but this is a great example of what God can do. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us out of your hands, your majesty. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. Folks, these three men were thrown alive into the burning fiery furnace. It was so hot that the huge guards that threw them in died just from the heat outside the furnace. Those three men fell into that fiery furnace, and suddenly there's a fourth man with them. Do you know that no matter what trouble you get into, Jesus is there? He's with you too. And if you'll simply trust him, he'll bless you too. Now these men had to say, God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're going to stand for God. Folks, those are the choices we have. So we can have some confidence in this life that if God's for us, nobody can successfully be against us. What's the worst they can do to us as Christians? They can kill us. What happens to a Christian when they kill us? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's not a bad deal. Heaven's going to be so much better than this. I'm anxious to get there. In Romans 8:32, he asked this question again. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? This is an argument from greater to lesser. This is an argument saying that if God has given us his son, and he has, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If God gave his son for you, will he not give you everything else too? Do you understand? I've got two sons. I got two daughters. And as far as I know right now, I wouldn't give their life for anybody in this world. I love them with all my heart. God had one son, and he loved him with all of his heart. But he had other sons and daughters that he wanted to bring into his family. And the only way to do that was to sacrifice his only begotten son. So if he sacrificed his son for you, isn't he going to give you everything he's got? Folks, if he gave the best, Abraham was asked by the Lord to sacrifice his son, Isaac. Abraham obeyed the Lord by faith, believing that if God wanted to, he could raise Isaac from the dead, because God said, it's through Isaac I'm going to bless everybody. So Abraham was walking by faith. He went up the mountain that God told him to go up to. He got the knife out ready to slay his son, and God said, stop. You don't have to sacrifice your son. And God provided a ram. What the test was, Abraham, will you give me your son that you love with all your heart? And Abraham said yes. Now, if God had asked Abraham for all of his money, what do you think Abraham would say? He would have said yes. If I'm going to give you my son, I'm going to give you all I got. Abraham, I want you to take time for me. Will you do it? Well, absolutely, I'm giving my son. Folks, if you'll give your best, then you're going to give everything. And God is never going to hold out on you. So, the fact that we know that our God did indeed give his son gives us confidence to know that he's going to meet all of our needs. Think about it. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have accepted God's very best gift that he can possibly give. But along with that comes all the blessings of God. They're at your disposal. We can be thankful every day that our God stands with us. We don't go through this life alone. We all love the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. We have someone that's going through this life with us. He's saying to you and he's saying to me, follow me, this is the way. He's there everywhere we go. We get to choose whether we walk with him or not, but he's always beckoning to us to follow him. In Romans chapter 8, verse 33, it says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. That word, the phrase, bring any charge, is represented by one word in the Greek language. And that word means, it's a legal term, to indict or to formally accuse. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, who's going to accuse you successfully is the question that's being asked. So the question is, who would bring a charge? And we know one of the answers, at least, is Satan. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down." Satan accuses us day and night before the Father. Now, they're not false accusations, most of them. Think about last week, just last week. Did you say or think or do anything contrary to what God would have had you do? And if the answer is no, I didn't, you're living in a fairy tale. We all fall short of the glory of God. I've been a Christian now 54 years, and I still fall short. The Lord listens to Satan's accusations. He's constantly saying, this is what Jerry did this week. And he has the evidence. He's got a video of everything. He's got a voice recording. He's got facts A through Z, and they're the truth. He listens to the accusation, but guess what he does? He's the accuser. He's the prosecuting attorney. But our defense lawyer is Jesus Christ himself. Without saying a word, all Jesus has to do is hold up his hands. Do you know who the judge is? It's Jesus Christ. It's a rigged trial. And it's rigged in our favor. Because Jesus Christ is the one who defends us. In Romans 8, verse 34, "Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus who died, more than that, who was raised from life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us." He is our defense attorney. Not only that, who's the judge? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." Now, the one who is our defense is our legal counsel. That's Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is also the judge. This is exciting to me. In John 5:22, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son." So the trial is rigged, and it's rigged in your favor. If Jesus Christ is for us, who can be against us, including Satan? No one successfully. He's got all the evidence. Yes, we fall short. But on your best day or your worst day, God is for you. God loves you. You're his child. And he's going to defend you. That's why even on our worst days, we can thank the Lord that he stands by us. Do we deserve it? No, we don't. But are we going to get it? Yes, we are. Why do we get the favor and not the rest of the world? Because we've trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. The rest of the world goes on and they're going to be found guilty. Satan's going to accuse them too. But there'll be no defense. We as Christians are most blessed. We ought to thank God every day that God is for us. Why? Because we chose Christ as our Savior. Lastly, we can thank our Lord every day that God stands by us. In Romans 8, verse 31, I want you to follow this because it starts with no condemnation and it ends with no separation. What a blessing we have. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no separation ever from God for those who are in Christ Jesus. What then should we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who raised from life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love math. Now, I'm not a super mathematician, but I'm pretty good, and I enjoy mathematics. In the Christian life, we have some mathematics in evidence. Number one, we as sinners come to God by faith, and he adds to us his grace. Then he does a little subtraction. He subtracts all of our sin. Then he moves into the multiplication mode, and he multiplies forgiveness throughout our lives. I need forgiveness every day, oftentimes many times during the day. I don't think right, I don't talk right, and I don't do right all the time. So I praise the Lord for 1 John 1:9. Hopefully you got this memorized because you're going to need it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? That means all we have to do when the Holy Spirit says, Jerry, you did it again. Come on, dummy, wake up. I say, yes, Lord, you're right. What I did was wrong. Please forgive me. He not only forgives me, but he begins to cleanse that habit or that thing out of my life. We've got so much to be thankful for. And then he multiplies forgiveness, and then he divides us from death. We are never going to experience death. I'm going to experience physical death should the Lord not come in my lifetime. But I'm never going to die. When I take my last breath here, first breath in heaven. There's no ceasing of the life of Jerry Larkin or you. That's why the Apostle Paul goes on to say in Romans 8:37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I mentioned if I could get those two boys on my team, I was going to win. Never failed. When you get Jesus Christ on your team, you are going to win. Yes, you're going to have some disappointments in this life. Yes, things are going to go contrary to the way you wish they would. But God's going to work it all for your good. We have so many promises in God's word. That word more than conquerors is super conquerors in the Greek. It's made up of two words. Both of them you'll know. Nike is the first, a familiar word which means victory. When you put on your Nikes, your tennis shoes, that's so you can win the victory in the race. The second word is hyper, which means over and above. You see, a conqueror, just a normal conqueror, is somebody who goes into a battle and wins the battle. But a super conqueror is somebody who goes into the battle knowing they're going to win. Because Jesus Christ is on my team. He never, ever fails. He always hits the home run. He always slam dunks just when you need it. He's always there for you. And we have to have him on our team. So it's not easy sometimes, our battles. Every passing day, it may seem like it's getting more and more difficult for you. But God has promised he's going to supply every need that you ever have. He's on your team and he will not fail. On your worst day, it ought to be a Thanksgiving day for you. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? And the answer is nobody, nothing, no time, anywhere. We need to give thanks because that always stands for us. Our Lord is always for those that are his children. He always stands with us. And he always stands by us no matter what. Father, we're so thankful for your word today. We're thankful, Lord, that just as you were with Joseph in that jail, you're with us even when life seems to be against us. Just as you were with David standing against Goliath, Lord, there's nothing the enemy can throw at us that we can't conquer walking with you. Father, no matter what happens in this life, we need only look to you for your strength, for your wisdom, and for your understanding. Father, bless us this day and use us for your glory. And Lord, we're going to give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen.